I hate myself. I'm worthless, and I'm fake. I'm fake to all of you. You guys have all known me for at least a little bit. Some of you have known me for 4 years, and you think you have me all figured out. But I'm fake. You don't know what goes on in my heart and what goes on in my mind and my thoughts. I grew up in an Adventist home with a really, really good family. I've always had a lot of support, and my friends have always been there for me. Nothing drastic has ever happened to me. I mean, life's been good. My mom had breast cancer when I was in fourth grade, but I mean, it didn't really scare me. I mean, I knew it was a bad thing, but it didn't really scare me that bad because God would never let anything bad happen, right? I mean, he was always going to be there for me. I didn't have to worry about anything. Everything was going to go just perfect. But I forgot. I forgot about Satan and what he can do. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Satan was stalking me, and he was waiting for me. He's waiting for me to be strong, to say, you know, nothing can break me. You know, I'm good. He's waiting for that. When I came to UCA as a freshman, I really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed UCA. It's a great school. And I had friends really quickly, and I loved my teachers. It was good. But I started trusting in anything anyone ever told me, all my friends, anything my friends told me, anything my parents told me, anything my teachers told me. I trusted in everything. And it got me into a place where I really didn't want to be. It wasn't all of a sudden, it wasn't just like, oh, suddenly this perfect Lindsay just transformed into this evil beast or something. It wasn't immediate. It was slow. Stuff started creeping into my life, and slowly, I changed. My character changed. I was not the same person. So I got to a point where I was just like, "Wow, Lindsay, you're not perfect anymore. What are you doing? Whoa, back up. You need to be baptized. You have not been baptized. That's what you need to do. You need to be baptized." So last year at SWAP on Friday night, I got baptized. Pastor Fred baptized Cece and me. And after I was baptized, I was going to be perfect. I was going to be perfect again. I was going to be, oh God, I'm going to go win souls for you, and I'm going to be the best Christian ever. You know, I'm going to be someone that someone's going to write about someday. And so the first couple of days, they were good. I mean, I was doing pretty good. I was on my spiritual high. And I was proud of myself. I was like, oh, good, you're doing good. But then it came, and it hit, and it was the same exact stuff that was affecting me before. And I was still the same person who screwed up in ways you would never even think, in ways that I was appalled. I was just like, who am I? What am I doing? I couldn't do anything. And so, God, why did you make me like this? Why am I like this? Why do you make me feel so guilty? I got baptized for you. I want to do great things for you. But you won't help me get over these things. You've just left me. You said you'd be there. What are you doing? Are you even there? You know, if there was a God, and if what people say about you is true, you would have already helped me, and I would be perfect. I mean, you're not there. I don't even know why I'm trying. You're just not worth it. I'm done. I gave up. I gave up on God, and I gave up on myself, and it was no longer worth living. Life was no longer worth living. So I started thinking about suicide a lot. Every day I'd wake up and I'd think, why am I alive? My friends don't know me. My parents don't know me. They don't know what goes on inside. I don't even know myself. It's not worth living. driving became really dangerous for me, I would think, Lindsay, just with one little turn, you can go off the road. I mean, people would think it was an accident. They wouldn't even know. No one would know. Or why don't you take some pills? Why don't you overdose? I've heard it's painless. Why not that? Or, I don't know, maybe killing yourself is too drastic. Why don't you just try to hurt yourself? Why don't you try to run your head into the wall or something, something that might knock you out for a minute or something, some time that you didn't have to spend with yourself. But I couldn't do any of it. I couldn't do anything of it because I was so guilty. My friends would be so disappointed. My family would be so disappointed. And I was guilty. I was to a point where I didn't want to live, and I couldn't live, and I couldn't die. What was I supposed to do? So I was raised a Christian. Okay, I've heard people say this before. I guess I'm kind of at my rock bottom. I can try God again, but I know it's not going to work. But Pastor Fred gave me a book when I was baptized, Steps to Christ. And there was a story in there. And Ellen White gets this letter from one of her friends. And it says, it's crying out for help because there's so many things wrong in her life that she can't go on without thinking about those constantly. So she was looking for some encouragement. So Ellen White reads this and then she goes to sleep. And she has this dream that they're walking in a garden, her and her friend, and there's a guide and they're following this path. And this garden is beautiful. There's beautiful, huge trees everywhere with flowers, beautiful flowers. And there's a sunset with a whole bunch of colors. And there's animals, any animals that you would, you know, cute little animals. Oh, it's so nice. It's such a pretty walk. When they're walking along and she finds her friend off the path, stooped down, looking at some weeds and looking at some thorns and thistles. And she says, oh, Ellen, it's such a shame that this whole beautiful garden is ruined with this. It's, man, it could have been so good, but look at this. And the guide turns to her and says, no, don't look at that. That's going to hurt you. Look at all these beautiful things here. Look at the tree. Look at the trees. Look at the flowers. It's so beautiful. Stop looking at that. I had been focusing on me and me alone, just me. And there was nothing good in there. There's nothing good to focus on. God was telling me, just give it to me. Give it all up. I regret the hours I have wasted and the pleasures I have tasted. You were never in. And I confess that though your love is in me, it doesn't always win me when competing with my sin. And I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. And I return to being in love with Jesus. I bow down on my knees and I repent. I lament the idols I've accepted, the commandments I've rejected to pursue my selfish end. And I confess I need you to revive me, put selfishness behind me, and take up my cross again, and I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame, and I return to being in love with Jesus. I bow down on my knees and I repent. I was tired of being fake. Tired of being fake and relying on myself. In Psalms 32, 1 through 5, it says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." God knows each one of you. He doesn't care who you are right now. He doesn't care what you've done in your past. He doesn't even care what you're doing, what you're going to do in your future. All he wants you to do is give yourself up and stop looking at all the bad things in your life. Focus on him. That is the best decision I've ever made. I'm not perfect still. I still have a lot of the same things that I was struggling with. But now I have hope because God is there for me and he took it away. If he's calling you to repent anything in your life, please give it to him because it'll change your life. He's waiting for you. Please answer the call.